workers' blood. The mistakes of the bosses we must pay for. From the cities to the farm and in trenches full of mud. 'Cause war has always been the boss's way, sir. Come on!
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. So over the weekend, some 40,000 AT&T workers took to the picket lines in a three-day strike to, well, you got to jumpstart negotiations. From what I'm being told, slow process. This is one of those arrows in the quiver that you get to jumpstart the process. But back to work as of today. And the hope is, look, the hope is that both sides get to the table, negotiate a fair, equitable contract that benefits both sides, and move forward. Here to talk a little bit about that, I've asked Ed Mooney, Vice President of CWA District 2-13, to come talk with us. Ed, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me.
So you've wrapped up this three-day strike, and look, I saw lots of enthusiasm, lots of folks on the picket lines. Tell me a little bit, how'd the weekend go?
So the weekend went great. I want to thank the general public as well as the rest of the labor movement and primarily our members as they're employed at AT&T, both mobility and wireline, who turned out in tremendous numbers to support this action. And we hope it sends a strong message to the company that we're serious about the issues that are on the table and they need to move off of their positions that aren't going to get us to a fair contract.
So what led you to this?
Well, we've been negotiating with the company for months now. The contract expired. Originally, upon expiration, we agreed to extend it with 72 hours notice to the other party. Several weeks ago at the AT&T shareholders meeting, we notified the company that we were canceling the contract because there was no movement. And it just appeared to us to be a process the company wanted to just draw it out. And time, obviously, would be on their side, not ours. So we canceled the contract, we went back to the table, pushed our demands. When it became clear the company wasn't moving off of them, we notified them that, you know, in case you think we won't do this or we can't do this, we notified them that we would have this three-day strike over the weekend and the demonstration that was put on by our members and the general public with their support and the rest of the labor movement, as well as the politicians who supported us, including Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania and Mayor Jim Kenney in Philadelphia, and I'm sure many others. Across the country, hopefully that will send a message to AT&T that we're serious. They need to get off of their demands. They need to keep jobs here in America, stop moving jobs from their own company-owned retail locations to contracted locations, and also continue using their own technicians to maintain and service the network versus subcontractors.
Right. Well, as you know, most contracts are about wages, hours, conditions. I understand job security being one of the big issues. Because as I understand, AT&T has cut something like 12,000 call center jobs since 2011.
Well, they didn't cut them. They just moved them from the United States to call centers overseas in 36 different countries. So they don't have less people doing this work, and they don't have less customers, and they're certainly not making less profit. They have decided to increase their profits on the backs of American workers while still charging their customers premiums in their pricing plans, like going overseas and getting wages for pennies on the dollar compared to what they pay here in the U.S.
How much of what you're seeing at the bargaining table is a result of, you know, the really anti-worker sentiment that we're seeing coming out of Washington and out of state houses across the country?
Well, and, you know, I want to AT&T is not normally anti-worker. And they actually respect the rights of their employees to join the union. We have a neutrality agreement with them. And all of the recently acquired DirecTV employees have now joined the union, either the CWA or the IBEW across the country. So they are respectful of their workers' wishes in that fashion. However, I think, you know, at the bargaining table, it's just time for a group of workers at AT&T to stand up and say, enough is enough. Enough is the cost shifting of healthcare. It used to be that they wanted you to have some skin in the game. Well, at this point, they're trying to get seven layers of skin out of their employees and our members. And I think our members just said, you know what, we've had enough. We contribute more than enough to the plans. We understand how to use them. We try to use them in the most cost-effective way possible. And we certainly don't want our jobs transferred overseas or our stores closed and open up subcontracted stores with people who aren't employers. It then leads to greater problems for the customers. You know, if it's not an employee, they have less of a commitment because today you're working for this company, tomorrow you'll be working for another one. So, you know, we hope that they get the message. They're not normally anti-worker, and they're certainly not anti-union. I think it was just time that a group of their employees took a stand and said, enough's enough, and here's what we really need in a contract. We're hoping, as of this morning, AT&T has heard that message loud and clear, and that their proposals at the bargaining table begin to reflect that, so we can come to a contract that benefits both sides and get back to servicing the customers.
That's a good thing. But, you know, here's the question. The other question is, how much of this is also maybe just the direction of the industry? Because a lot of this seems to be in line with what you guys fought with in the contract fight with Verizon.
Yes. So in that facet of it, they seem to be following, apparently they all go to the same business schools. They're following the same train of thought that Verizon employed and that other companies have employed. We currently have a bill in Congress to try to stop all these American companies from moving good-paying call center jobs out of the United States. And it also ties into the increased percentages of identity theft that the general public's experiencing when this information goes overseas, where they're paying people pennies on a dollar to do this work. In many cases, people, even though they may be good people, take the risk of selling your private information for some other way to make ends meet wherever they're at. So we believe if we're successful in keeping these jobs here and tying it together with that call center bill in the in Washington, you know, maybe we can begin to not only rehire American workers into these call centers, secure the people we have, but also eliminate the subsequent problem of identity theft that's happening, we believe, as a result of this information going overseas.
That's an interesting point, and it's something that I think the rest of the community, the rest of the country should be paying attention to, because, you know, the amount of information we give to these cell phone carriers and to, you know, to these businesses is mind-blowing, and to have it go who knows where is kind of scary stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, think about it. If they have access to your account, then they have access to how you pay your bill. Many people now pay them online with passwords, and that password is linked to your personal bank accounts. Not only the personal bank accounts, but credit cards or other forms of financial transactions and all that stuff. If they have access to it, they can see your passwords, they can see all that stuff. If they share that, it contributes to that. I'm not saying it's the only reason it happens, but it certainly is one way we can stop anyone from having access to that.
Right. So let's go back to the negotiations. And I know you can't go into what's going on back and forth across the table. You know, what are the, outside of the jobs being shipped overseas, what are the main points of contention? Because I've seen some of the statements from AT&T saying, well, we already pay you guys enough.
Right. So, you know, obviously wages and benefits are always an issue. The quality of the benefits and who's going to pay what percentage of it for the benefit is still a strong bone of contention. As for the numbers AT&T has put out about the wages these employees make, their statements have been patently ridiculous. When you compare their statements to an online job advertisement, these customer service workers are making anywhere between $35,000 and $55,000 to $70,000 a year tops with incentives and commissions. Obviously, that varies depending on where you work, the amount of traffic that comes in and out of the location, or if they're doing it by an online sale, you know, a call center sales process. So we believe the company is not telling the truth in that aspect of it. And the bottom line is, if you don't have a job, if you don't commit to keep the jobs here in American call centers, and you don't agree to keep the company stores open versus subcontracting it to an authorized retailer, then it doesn't matter what the contract says your salary and benefits are, you're not going to have a job.
Right.
So the contract becomes a moot point.
It comes back to that job security situation. Right. That, look, I think every worker in this country should want to see you guys succeed, because, again, there's that ripple effect. At some point, someone's got to stop and force these companies in Wall Street to stop outsourcing and really, you know, slashing wages, slashing benefits, because the middle class is really, really under attack.
Yes, they are. And, you know, you look at some companies who don't listen to what Wall Street, or don't let Wall Street tell them how to run their business. They seem to be extremely successful. Look at a company like Costco, who doesn't. The CEO there famously ignores any direction or pressure he receives from Wall Street and says he'll run his business the way he sees fit. And the company's thriving. The employees thrive. The company thrives, and everybody's happy. So, you know, we hope AT&T is a worldwide, you know, gigantic corporation, and in our opinion, they don't need to listen to anybody. They certainly have the right ideas, the right technology to get out there and present the best thing they can to a customer. They can compete very well with the products that they have, And, you know, they should run their corporation by treating their employees well and listening to what their customers want, not what a Wall Street financier is telling them they want. You know, when we talk to customers and we're the people who have the face-to-face contact with them, the customers are on our side. It showed this weekend that the majority of the customers overwhelmingly are on our side in these issues. And, you know, we hope that AT&T gets that message and we conclude this contract successfully here in a rapid fashion.
Yeah, that's always the hope. But if it doesn't, are you willing to go back out on the picket line?
All those options are available to us. You know, if that has to happen, then obviously nobody wants to see that because that's a hardship not only on the customers but also on our members. And so we're hoping we can avoid that. We were hoping that this demonstration over the weekend would send a clear message to the company that if we have to do this, we can. It's obviously not something we want to do because in that nobody wins in that kind of situation. So we're hoping that we can conclude this through a successful collective bargaining negotiation and wrap this up and just move forward.
How profitable is AT&T? I mean, you know, we see some of these eye-popping numbers, and I know a lot of companies, you know, especially during contract negotiation times, love to cry poverty. How profitable of a corporation is this?
AT&T is not crying poverty, and in fact, it boils down to a very simple number. They have in net profit in the corner. Think about a room filled up with all the money they make in a month. After they pay every single bill that they have for every employee, every light bulb, every last screw they need to pay for, in the corner of that room sits $1 billion. That is their profit per month after every single thing is paid for. So they have absolutely have the ability to conclude this contract successfully. They just need to get off of some of the ideologies they have about where they do the work and who pays how much for what when it comes to benefits. And this negotiation will be concluded successfully. Those people will be back to work and secured and be able to get back to focusing on servicing the customers.
So last question, how do I help? How do we help? How do our listeners help push this along? Because, look, we want good family-sustaining wage jobs here in this country. We want workers to have security. How do we help?
So you always help us by allowing us to get our message out here on the program. The general public and your listeners, if they want to help, they can go to Unity at Mobility. Our website, they can take any of the actions that are on there from sending messages to the CEO to just showing up in a store and telling the workers, you know, now that they're back to work, we hope people go back to the stores now and get whatever products and services they needed that they refrain from getting over the weekend. And while you're in those stores, you can communicate to those members that you support them, you have their back, and the reason that you're back there on Monday and weren't there Friday evening, Saturday, or Sunday was in support of them. And we will keep you informed as to how these negotiations are going, and hopefully we conclude them successfully shortly so that we can keep not only the jobs we have here, but bring additional thousands of jobs back here from overseas and begin to employ some of the people who are coming in as customers today, because then there'll be job opportunities for them going forward.
All good stuff. Ed Mooney, I appreciate you taking time for us. I look forward to having you back here with good news and a contract.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Ed. Again, if you want to check out their website, unityatmobility.com, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can get there. Right, good stuff. And the hope is, look, the hope is that this is settled. There isn't a strike because, you know, having been on strike myself in the past, there's really no winners in this. But sometimes you're pushed into a situation where you don't have a choice. And look, with, as he pointed out, with 12,000 jobs being shipped overseas since 2011, the handwriting on the wall. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Through the door. It's desperate times, so desperate measures we explore. Marching on the Capitol to lobby leaders for involvement. 3,000 people screaming out. Where's our government? Lawsuits and arraignments. Members under company surveillance. Public divided. Either they love us or they hate us. Profit billions off our back. And it's still not enough. They should have took into account that we never give up. We'll be here one day longer. One day longer. The people's voice is stronger.
Class radio experience, where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.